Chairman Reese is here. Commissioner Chase. Commissioner Gillis. Commissioner Hoyt.
Here.
Commissioner Jayaraman. Sorry. Commissioner Carroll. Not here. Commissioner Osga.
Here.
Okay. We have a quorum.
Any comments on the minutes? I know we were adding, Pat, that you attended him late to that last week. So we'll add that.
Apologies.
No?
Apologies. I made up for it today.
Noted.
Yeah. Okay. Today.
Any other comments on the minutes? Except those?
Okay.
Is that in there?
I did not interrupt. Oh, every other minute, did you notice that? I didn't interrupt. I must speak much. Raise my hand or something.
So can I get a motion and a second for both? Okay. Commissioner Chase. With the changes we discussed. Okay, so Chase, and then can I get a second?
Second.
Okay. Pen, of course, ran out of ink. Okay. Okay. We good?
Yeah.
Good. Okay.
September 17th, so Todd was up here.
Well, so that was a long discussion even at the board level. Technically, you can.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The attorney, Lance, went into a long spiel about you are allowed to because based on your understanding, that is what they are.
Okay.
You also could have listened to the meeting.
Yeah, that too.
Of course I did.
Exactly. So you can abstain if you'd like.
No, I'll.
Okay. Okay.
Good point. All right, Bill, when you're ready, do you want to give us a rundown on the Washington meeting?
Yes. So I will. Well, there's no public comment. So in terms of Washington Boulevard, so my plan for today was to sort of just go over. Well, number one, I'll go over where it is on the website. So as soon as we had our open house, the open house was well attended, really just over, I think, 55 people came, which was great. Good feedback. A lot of residents came to the meeting. Right after the meeting the next day, we did update our village website so that all of the information from the open house and any information pertaining to where you can provide comment, any FAQs, that was updated right away. So I'm just going to walk through just sort of how to get there. If any of you receive any inquiries or any questions, you'll know where to go. Departments, you could type in Washington Boulevard here. But in terms of the long way, departments, Public Works and Engineering, and it has its own construction engineering. It has its own project page. So Washington Boulevard Corridor. So on the corridor improvement page, we still have the project background, which is something that has continued to grow since the village-wide traffic study, the project development, some information regarding the delineators that were implemented, some discussion regarding the what has come because of the delineators, and also just information regarding our phase one application and the grant awarded by Cook County and just what the process looks like. We now have this section here that has community meeting, just information regarding the community meeting, PDF of the exhibits, summary of the FAQs, and also at this time, we are still accepting public comment, and we're going to extend this to Friday, but I need to update that, till this Friday. So technically, we do need a formal comment period just so that we and the consultants know what we're building off of. You know, what are we trying to accommodate? We have to have a technical deadline, but obviously, if anything comes up throughout the process, I take that in, provide it to the consultants, and we see if we can accommodate. So formal comment period, if any of you have formal comments, please provide those by Friday. And now, so that's how you get to that. Now what we'll do is we'll go over the exhibits.
Comments or suggestions of any consequence?
One of the main themes, one of the larger scale comments, generally, the feedback was actually very nice. Like, this is a great idea. We like what you guys are doing. We like the idea of slowing people down. One of the main comments that we are really now as a design team trying to accommodate is there was a number of comments regarding the multi-use path, and I'll bring it up. The multi-use path. Timer screen is fine. Sure. Looks weird. I don't know why it's so small. Here it's bigger, but this area right here. So from park at, well, actually the next one. This area right here, the proposed multi-use path on the south side of the street. A number of residents on this side came back with feedback that, hey, we don't mind losing our parking. Put the bikers on the street, get rid of the multi-use path, and take away one side of parking, which was very surprising to me because that's typically opposite feedback. Generally, people don't want to lose their parking. They have significant concerns losing their parking. However, multiple people came back that no, I'd prefer losing my parking and pushing the bikers and the dedicated bike lanes on the street. Now, one of the comments that I did as I was speaking to those residents was, here we could definitely take a look at that. However, for Washington Triangle, I know that with all the soccer programs and everything going on at the Park District, we cannot lose the parking there. We cannot. We already have issues with parking as it stands. So to lose an entire side of parking just wouldn't work for all the programming and everything that goes on there. So, for the Washington Triangle, that park there, it just wouldn't work just based on how many people are in the usage of it. So that was the main just topic that came up multiple times was the idea of removing the parking on the south end to be able to accommodate the multi-use path. Now there are some things that come along with that, and now we can go through just the corridor in general and what we were looking at. So what we did. So here, let me. There we go. And I apologize. This is, I don't know why this is harder to see. This was our main thing of just explaining to people who came to the open house just what are we looking to do? These were the main goals of the projects, key objectives. This was a really nice high level of just why are we doing this project? I'm not going to go through each one. I'm just going to go over the main bullet points, just enhance safety for all users, improve multimodal accessibility, modernize infrastructure and streetscape, balance parking needs with safety enhancements, engage the community throughout the process, and achieve phase one design approval by summer, fall 2026. That time frame, August 2026, is when ITEP opens up for IDOT. So that is what we're trying to hit to make sure we have IDOT phase one. When we met with IDOT after our unsuccessful bid, they mentioned to us having phase one approval gets you a lot of extra points, which then might kick us into actually winning the grant. So that's partially why we're trying to hit that. Really, this was just a nice welcome board. What was funny in the open house was the intention was to sort of have like a little mini speech and then start going over, but people were so excited by all the signs, they just started walking towards the signs. And so then it was just everybody from the project team, Bill was there, I was there, Matt was there, Brian Skozak, our superintendent of operations. And then the design team brought over four or five consultants as well. And all of us were just going to individual groups and do you have any questions? Do you have any concerns, and just trying to guide them through the process. But all of them were just excited to see what the plans were. So now let's go over the combined exhibits. So what we did was the layout we had in there was basically this, the goals, the welcome, all that kind of stuff. But really the main feature was, hey, here's the overall location map. And now we have eight project boards going over every single intersection or stretch. So you can take a deep dive of what's looking to be proposed and provide feedback. So here we have Thatcher and Washington, the intersection. Key components here to be aware of. Here we show the future Des Plaines River Trail and just how that would connect with this future improvement. We also show on the west side the proposed IDOT improvement. So IDOT has already come to us with a phase one to replace the bridge because the bridge is failing. So they will be replacing the bridge, and they're going to be looking at doing these bike lanes as part of their project. So they've already proposed that. So we just want to make sure that it seamlessly combines with what they're doing.
Slange River.
Yeah.
Hey, Bill, maybe this isn't part of it, but is narrowing west of Thatcher part of this project?
Not our project, part of IDOT's project.
It's part of IDOT.
Yeah, they will be narrowing that from a two-lane full all the way through to a one-lane.
Oh, okay, that'll help.
Yeah, so that'll definitely help. They see it, they see the reasoning for it. Really, you know, yeah, we understand that there's a lot going on there in terms of speeding and stuff like that. So this is that intersection. Really, we're showing existing stop sign conditions. We're showing what we're looking to do is some of this more prominent crosswalk stuff, just to sort of give people more of an idea of where they need to go, but also obviously making it more visible to drivers. One of the features here that you'll see that's prominent throughout the corridor, and this was something I went over with the consultant, one of my main concerns and one of the things the delineators really took care of was people jockeying for position once they get to an intersection. So for me, what I'm proposing here, because in this section you still only have one bump out because you do have the bike lane. So what I'm thinking in here is being able to put, and I've seen examples of this in other communities, particularly Niles has a new one on Howard that utilizes this, where it's like a curb with delineators on top of it. So it's not that they're going to hit the delineators all the time. Now you're going to be hitting curb. So you're going to learn quickly that you should not be trying to go around and do different.
3 foot tall curb? Or
it's like, I would say a foot.
A foot?
Okay. Yeah. And then they are removable for, again, just removable, yeah, just for winter stuff and to clean up.
Anybody can just store the
bag. Well, I was like movable? Like, you can turn it, you can cool. Angle it. You can, okay.
Yeah, no, hopefully my hope is, from what I've seen, is they'll just be installed in like a quick, easy way where we'll, you know, bring a bobcat, bring it over, put it down, and screw it in two places, and it holds. That's the intent. So
take it out.
Right, maintenance work. Yep. One of the other features, obviously, for this section, you can see that there is parking still on the north side, but parking is gone on the south side. And you do have a 3 foot buffer lane, which is pretty significant, a 3 foot stripe buffer lane between the bike lane and the driving lanes.
How wide's the bike lane?
Bike lane is, I believe, 5 feet, 5 or 4. Let's see, do they put that in here? No. Should be in the typical section. Oh, 3 foot. That's not good. We'll talk about that. Because the other thing that we've talked about with the consultant, as you can see here, initially, currently the lanes are 12 feet wide, which is super wide, but that's standard practice for an old IDOT road. Those lanes are just wider, whereas we have asked them to move it to 10 feet, which is the minimum required, because that also creates that feeling of, okay, I'm not just open road, go for it, versus it's a little tighter.
And also, too, those who want to pass on the right, there's only 6 feet to do it.
Correct.
A little less likely.
Yep.
On that, Bill, is there a plan to join? So like, could the buffer be 2 feet and the bike 4 feet? Or
correct. And that's where some of those details we can still mess with. I know the idea of the 10 foot wide lanes, that's something that we were like getting close to the open house and we're looking at each other like, no, minimum design standard is 10. Let's keep it at 10. Rather than 11 or 12, because then we can gain all this room for other stuff. So, okay. Here we have the Thatcher. We'll move on to the next intersection. So here we have our first raised intersection at Gale and Washington. So one of the things that we talked about and looked at with the consultant team is obviously the distribution of stop signs. We wanted to make sure that it made sense, that we weren't overdoing it to where people weren't following anything, but met standards, met, you know, FHWA standards, because that was the other topic of conversation with a number of residents who came to the open house is, well, can you do this? Can you do that? Can you do this? We're going to be designing to highway standards because we want to make sure that it's eligible for grant funding and everything that we're looking to do. So here we have an entire raised intersection and we've maintained just the two-way stop. Now, the benefit here and what we've tried to do throughout the corridor is put the raised intersection in locations where you don't have stop signs. So it provides a level of slowdown and just visibility too.
One on Marion Street in Suffolk Park, south of Lake Street, there's a ground.
I think that's how I'm picturing.
The one I know of that's similar or would look similar is the one on Madison. I think in their little downtown area, they have a table, a crosswalk table. So it'd be similar to something like that, where it's a more of a gradual table rather than sometimes what you see in Chicago, where it's just a very significant bump that's just. Okay, good. Yeah.
South of Lake.
Hmm.
Slows you down. I mean, it's
well, and this would attract attention to the intersection. You're coming up on something, and all of a sudden you're looking, okay, I need to slow down here. Without being extremely disruptive to emergency vehicles and snow plows and the like. This speed table is more gradual, so it's still easy for us to maintain, and it's also just not bad for ambulances, fire trucks, stuff like that.
And is the bump out not blocking the bike lane?
No. So that's the other part again of like, we're able to do bump outs on one side, but not the other, because this way you do have that bike lane. That's fine. And here again, because we're doing bike lanes, we're not able to do the bump out here. Rather, we have these really concrete things that are just able to separate the cars from the bike lane.
In the city of Chicago, I've seen bump outs where they also have a bike lane going through them.
I would be interested. I send that over.
Oh.
Because I have seen in the city this separated like curbed thing, but I'd be interested to see that because we're looking. When me and the consultant were talking about this, we were sort of like just brainstorming what we could do here because we do want that feel of the road being narrowed, but we also want to make sure that the bikes have normal, easy path. So that's sort of what we
this
settled
sounds
on.
Great to me, but I'll see if I can find an example to send you what I've seen.
I may have a quote over it, but basically what they do in the city is the bump out is an island with a, you know, call it a 3 foot between the original curb and the island,
mm-hmm.
and the bikes can go through it that way.
Okay.
But the bike lane would be on the close side curb, whereas the parking would be between the bike lane and the street. Okay. So it changes up.
On that side.
Yeah, there is on the north side.
Right.
There is parking.
So right.
So what I'm saying is it would change your whole thought process because your parking area on the top would then flip with the buffer and the bike lane, and the bike lane would be close to the curb.
Talking about doing the bump out on the south side.
No, I'm talking about the bump out that is existing.
Right.
But this bump out, technically, we don't have to change just because the bike is anyways just like running next to it. You know what I mean?
No, right. Right. Okay. So
only correct. The south is what we're looking at.
Okay. We're looking at the south side.
Yeah. Just because the south.
Where would the bump out go then?
It would only really be, well, if we, based on the typical section we just looked at, you have 6 feet of area because you're talking 3 feet bike lane, 3 feet buffer. So you're looking at 6 foot worth of area. Really, obviously you need the 3 feet for the bike lane versus the 3 feet that's area that you have to work with. So I would love to see that example, because I'd also like to look at just obviously what they put in them and how that looks and how those are maintained.
You're thinking like I think it'd be on the north side.
I think the north side is fine because of where the parking is. I like the parking near the curb and the bike lane.
I didn't want to change anything. Yeah. And I like the delineators too.
But the bump out you're talking about, at least the one I saw, would be more for the north side, where on the south side, I think we're covered because of that.
Well, we are covered because of that.
Yeah.
Right. And I think the north side is fine as is, because the bike lane doesn't need any extension.
Right.
And I really like the way the north side is configured, because a lot of these ramps are not ADA compliant because of just tree uprooting and stuff like that. So we do have to get to those. This provides us an opportunity of actually recapturing more land to be able to make this a nice landing, flatten it out, and make it really nice.
Right.
So you don't necessarily want bump out on the south side. It would be nice.
If we could, because depending on how that looks, I've already, you know, again, this is a movable median delineator that becomes a thing that Public Works now has to look at and maintain and constantly bring in, bring out breaks. People hit it, this and that. Whereas if there was more of a permanent option, that'd be fantastic. So that's, you know, I'd love to see it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yes, this is Gale.
Okay.
Which has a raised median.
So you said raised, how much is it raised?
At max, we're talking about maybe 4 inches. Okay. Bless you. 4 to 5 inches.
Okay.
Yeah.
So not too much air if you're going 60.
No.
Okay.
And it's gradual.
Okay.
Yeah. Otherwise. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the next thing. Plows breaking and yeah. Here then we have Keystone, another situation where really this section of Keystone is not raised, but this is a four-way stop. Similar to Gale, except it's just not raised. The only thing that we're looking at here is just these accentuated crosswalks. Really what we're looking to do, and we're still in the design phase of just trying to understand what best fits here. Long term, what we're looking at is potentially a concrete U that goes in with pavers in that section, so that that color just is there forever. So,
like Chicago near Harlem and Oak Park,
I believe so.
By the whatever it is, the pizzeria, the ice cream store. When you're going on Chicago,
just east of Harlem, on crossover Chicago,
all those are brick.
Yeah,
they still look quite nice.
They might even be heated. When they did that thermal stuff in the mall, they may have even done it there too. Oh.
Well, which
was a debacle.
Sure.
The thing for us with this is this becomes a situation where just like you have very prominent crosswalks, and that would have long term, long lasting. So that we think would come out very nice. So Keystone, that's what we have proposed here. Next, we move.
The one question is there lighting we can add to all this? Because even when you have the flashing light, which is coming up at Washington Park, when I walked down, you almost came out over so many times because I don't think they can see.
So I would definitely, it's always good to be able to compile these comments to be able to say then that no, these were questions that came up. And I think that came up a couple times. However, the other flip side of that, of I don't want a lighting, you know, that's by my house or going into my house or doing different things. So there's always the push and pull of that.
Like there's huge, somebody has a massive block. There's big.
Well, going back in history, the southwest corner, he had asked for something big and special, and we put in the lighted one, and then it may have been before you, and then a month later he asked to have it removed because he didn't want it.
David?
That's the guy in the corner, yeah.
So that could definitely be, like I said, if that come, like I would recommend.
What kind of signage are we going to need for the raised crossing on Gale? Is there going to be a sign halfway down the street on each side saying raised platform or slow down, or do they are they
I
just
don't think
officially?
that's required.
It's not required. Oh, that'll be great.
It's going to be Joe's chassis repair.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's only 4 to 6 inches, right?
correct. And honestly, like you can go to the one, like I've been on the one on Madison where it's the speed table. I mean, yes, it's uncomfortable. And if you do it enough, it's going to do something to your car, but it is, you know, it's prominent. You see it and it's meant to slow you down.
Yeah.
Okay.
The one by the.
Yeah. Yeah. That one, obviously, because it's only the crossing, that's a little more prominent. Whereas, like this, you're going to go up, you go across the intersection, and then you come down.
Okay.
So,
most people, residents and those who pass through frequently, will learn it once.
yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I always see when I'm in Forest Park or Oak Park, it's plain as day,
Yep.
but not every driver. And I'm not saying we need to warn every driver. I'm assumption of the risk. I'm completely fine with that theory with these drivers. It is what it is. But I was just curious, and you answered my question by saying signage is not required,
Right.
because we don't need any more signs. You know, we have signage issues, and we don't need to continue down that path if possible.
For sure. And I don't think that is our intent with this. That's not. It's the only thing we potentially looked at in terms of additional signage for this project is when we get to the multi-use path section, is if you wanted. They wanted some kind of more decorative signage that, oh, this is a multi-use path, you know, enjoy, share, whatever, you know, if we got to that point. But that's more of just, I don't know, trying to be more like community oriented versus like a standard required sign.
Okay.
How will we, the drivers who are not doing with it, see it at night?
Pavement striping. That's, you know, typically your headlights, they got to be go, you know, on, and it's reflective, and they need to see it.
They need to have lights.
Yeah. And most of the intersections, I know they're not, I mean, they're not great, but I know lighting is generally concentrated towards intersections generally. I know we are missing a light on Gale because of a water break, but otherwise the lights are generally up at intersections. They're not prominent, but they're there.
Great.
Okay, so this is Keystone. The only, and I think it's the next one. The only thing is at Forest. So here is what we are proposing at Forest.
Oh yeah, the half block.
So here we are doing that just singular speed table with the RRFB staying where they're at. The other change that's being proposed here, obviously, is this bump out, which will make this crossing a lot more prominent. Additionally, we're removing that curb cut that's here and here because technically we don't want people to use that. We want them to go to the formal crossing with the RRFB.
Yep, makes sense.
And the raised pavement is just on the sidewalk.
Just on the sidewalk.
Or the crossing.
Yep.
Are we going to put in the push button crosswalk sign?
That is here already.
Oh, there is one there?
Yeah.
Okay.
At this one, there is. We would just obviously retrofit to make sure. So, like, it would currently, I think it's back over here. We'd push it up more towards the road, make it more. Yeah. So that's here for Forest.
And all that.
Correct for here. And here we're going to keep this. I know along Forest, there's still parking to an extent. Here, there, I think I already looked at this side, didn't have parking as it is.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
See that bridge.
Yep. So it already didn't. So it's really here up to this is where you're losing parking on this side. So this is where now, once we move on, we transition to the multi-use bath. So here you have a situation where the bikes, you have the entrance onto the sidewalk area. And then here we, it's not shown very well, but there will be an entrance here onto the bike path from the sidewalk area. Because you need a nice formal, most people will just ride across and go. However, there is a formal way for children, people to get to the multi-use path in a safe way, or to the bike lanes from the multi-use path or vice versa. Park is being proposed also. So we tried to, similar to how we try to stagger stop signs, we tried to stagger the raised intersections. Raised intersection, then it's not stop controlled fully. And then stop controlled fully doesn't have a raised intersection. So in this situation here, you don't have cross street as a stop, so it's a raised intersection.
And the reason for that multi-use path is because we believe that parking's needed on both sides because the residents live there.
Not because residents live there. Park, yeah. Park programming. Yep. And I was actually quite surprised. In my experience, people love multi-use paths because it's a way to get bikes off the road. Here, the thought was different, where people didn't want the multi-use path. They'd actually wanted the bikes on the road and didn't want to mess with the sidewalk. In this situation, as I mentioned, is because of the amount of programming at the park, and already I've already received parking inquiries based on programming this last year, it would be very difficult to remove this parking.
What's in eight? It's an 8-foot path, which is bigger than a regular sidewalk.
Correct. Regular sidewalk's 5 feet. We're doing
Yeah, those things move.
They do. I'm hoping that this year was just a trend and that it doesn't continue year over year.
Getting all that money. They're expensive.
Let's say you remove the parking there, which we're not going to, where would the cars go? I mean,
well, no, and that's, yeah.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah.
Can you park on the curbs in road?
You can, and I can say that during park programming events, so like especially I could say, I think it was during soccer season, park was packed, and there was a ton of kids and just cars everywhere and on both sides.
There's only parking on one side of Park Avenue,
right? So,
right? Or is there parking on
both? Well, I think during those programs, I think it might have been on both.
Oh, that would make it tight.
Yeah.
What's the name of the curved road?
Park Drive.
Park Drive.
Yeah.
And that is parking on both sides or just on the park side?
I think it's just on the park side.
The multi-use path, is that where the current sidewalk is?
Current sidewalk extended 3 feet. I know they put in the fence. We're going to talk to them about moving the fence.
Park district.
Yeah.
Or we next will. Question is, have you done any audit on the trees?
Yes. There will be no trees removed with this.
Okay.
Because part of the reason why the fence will need to be moved is because by going, so the other part is, and you could see it faintly, not well. I asked Public Works to go out and mark right of way based on our maps and whatever. Right of way goes way into the park. It's this fainted line here.
Past the fence.
Way past the fence. So technically, that is still property that is to the road. So we will accommodate and move the fence, but there's no trees in that line. So it's nice for us to be able to put the path in, no trees affected, and we can get the fence in.
Okay.
So, yeah, based on, because I know that was a main concern based on the preliminary study from Thomas, based on what we're proposing here, no trees are impacted.
Okay.
I like all the bump outs though, because it keeps the parking lane not drivable.
Well, and that was why, like, the trying to figure out some way to still do that while having the bike lanes, and that's what became a little difficult. So that's Park.
I'm sorry, just as you went back. So near the tracks, it doesn't thin up enough that we're going to mess around with the bike lane? Right. Yeah.
This is where, again, because of the just width of the roadway being 12 foot lanes and all that kind of stuff, we have plenty of space to make that work.
Okay.
And that's partially, again, part of the concern of why today there's so much speeding is just, it's such a wide typical section.
But it's going to go back to, you're going to make it 10.
Correct. Okay. So this is Park. Now we continue along Washington Triangle. Next we have Franklin. So Franklin, again, because it was a multi-use path, you're able to do all four corners bump outs, which that's one of the benefits of pulling the bikers off the road is you're able to do this four-way bump out, which is a very significant choker of the intersection. We, as part of the project, and it's already been specified, we will upgrade the traffic signal, you know, to meet ADA standards, push buttons, all that kind of stuff. You have push buttons, but they're older, just to meet ADA compliance. One of the comments that was received was that nobody stops at the stoplight. One of the things that I will be asking the consultant to explore is a red light camera on Washington. I don't know if it has the ADT, if it meets all the requirements, but that's something we're going to look at.
Yeah, I've never seen
a main school stuff, so kids are on bikes, so everybody stops. There's no way everybody's blasting for that.
I don't think
because they're going to run over kids all of them because there's so many kids on waiting to cross. It's a huge.
Well, that's great feedback to hear. Like I said, that the feedback of nobody stopping there. I mean, to me, how do you accommodate that? To me, oftentimes you put in a red light camera, it hits your pocketbook, you're going to stop.
Yeah.
I can see people like not stopping at the right place on Park versus Park Drive. That's always kind of confusing.
I think it's the left turn where people are.
Otherwise, it's, yeah.
Because there's no.
I think the bump out, that's a corner where I would say let's build it. And let's see how it works out, because putting a money-grabbing red light camera in there, this town's already too connected with that. We don't need any more of that.
Okay, we'll be at it later.
This is not it. Let's build it. I mean, I'm there at that corner anywhere between 8 in the morning and 2 in the morning. So... I see people stop there, including myself, all the time.
That's a very critical stop sign.
Yeah, I've seen people go through Lathrop and Chicago
red light. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
No, red light. I'm stopped, and they pass me and go, the school right there at Lincoln.
It's a big...
It's in the city. It's an optional thing to stop at a red light. So I can understand it happening there.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
I couldn't believe it, but right around me.
Well, so then for me, I think my guidance is just going to be to make it capable. You know, the traffic light and everything, make it capable so it's an easy install if we were to do it and to look at. And then we'll see based on what happens.
Yeah. Is that overhead light now or is it on a pole?
No, it's on a pole.
It's on a pole. Okay.
Is it both?
No, both.
Overhead. No, it's overhead too. It is.
Is that, okay. I was just curious.
Yeah.
So, Bill, I'm sorry. If you end up moving the bike path, you could, as an option, get rid of this multi-use path and put it in the street, basically, or extend the bike lane.
Correct. So that's the concept that was thrown out by a number of these residents along this stretch, is they would prefer to just have the bike lanes in the road rather than have this multi-use path.
Kind of makes sense to me too. I mean, depends on what kind of bikers you're trying to accommodate, but serious bikers aren't going to go up on the path. Maybe kids would, but
are we doing something
go down the street.
Right. With that? Because starting at Franklin going east, we have, I believe it's village property on both north and south.
Oh, it's huge.
Don't we have like 30 feet?
Well, and that was partially the reason for sort of looking or exploring the multi-use path for this stretch was because of how large that right of way is.
But are we going to do something with that, with that land? Is it going to be there for just planting more trees, maybe?
Well, we could, yeah. I mean, in terms of planting trees, yeah, there's, a, I mean, there's a sidewalk there. There are a lot of trees already in that area. And we do always look at opportunities or areas to plant.
But there's not a plan. There's no plan that's included within this Washington Boulevard improvement plan.
No.
Okay.
Because honestly, with tree planting, arborists, they go out, they look at different sections. Where can they accommodate? What can they do? And they don't, they want to make sure they're spacing them out and doing certain things. So we're going to handle that on our end versus just during the project planting a bunch of stuff at once. So yeah, that would be something we'd manage in house.
And again, existing sidewalk there that you're just widening.
Correct. That's well, what, not just, so just widening. We're obviously not, we're not just putting a 3-piece section, 3-foot section on the 5. We're removing the whole thing and putting an 8.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that
it's one solid thing.
Correct.
But technically, we could do whatever we want with that 30 feet at this point.
Technically, that is village property.
And this is a two-way bike?
Yes. Right? Multi-use paths are intentionally typically just
not to have bikers on the side.
Correct. It's, the intention is to have one multi-use path on one side because that's, yeah, that's two-way. And here's, so... One of the most, a lot of my conversations with residents as well, oftentimes the fear when you put in bicycle facilities is all of a sudden you're creating an expressway for bicycles. You're not doing that. You're just creating a dedicated facility for some people who are biking, doing different things on their own. When you have the groups of bikers, those groups of bikers are generally biking in herds. And that's not, they're on the street, they're going with cars. It's a different story versus the multi-use path that's designed for the families that are just looking to go on a family bike ride, or the individual who's riding along or with someone, you know.
Lots.
Yeah.
Just not gonna be a speedway event.
Correct. So, and that's oftentimes a concern I try to allay, is that this is not creating a bicycle expressway. It's an opportunity for people to use a facility, but like that type of environment, those people that are coming in with their groups, those are generally people biking on the street anyways.
This is where some people said they prefer to have bikes on the street versus parking.
Correct.
Is that an option if all the residents agree?
If they all agree, we've already discussed like potentially getting all of their information and emails and sort of showing them like, this is what we're looking at. How do you feel about this? Before we get into that second open house in February, March.
To that comment, would, what is Forest Park planning to get 2 blocks up? Meaning, if we were to put the bike lane back on the street, and you get in the Forest Park for that strip before Oak Park, is there a plan for their bike lane to be on the street?
Well,
they'd have to do the same thing, get rid of
one side
of parking.
Right. Well, so the other conversation there, and this is something for, that's not Forest Park's road. That is under IDOT jurisdiction.
No.
Randolph is. So they are not looking at anything at this time. So generally, once you get to that side, it would be back to on-street facilities shared.
You know, Park, looking right now, they haven't done anything on Randolph Street there.
Well, and one, the main accommodation here, and this was something that we were really looking at, is with each community, you always try to have some arteries, major arteries, north, south, east, west. Well, for us, in the future, the hope is Thatcher, you have something that crosses the entire town, you know, Madison to north. Well, for the south end of town, Washington crosses your entire typical section, which is great. And that really, you wouldn't do it anywhere else. You wouldn't do it on Hawthorne. You wouldn't do it, you know, any of the other places. This, Washington, is the ideal place to try to, you know, funnel people go use Washington, go down the corridor, go to either east-west. So I don't disagree. I think it's a great, or it would be a great thing for people to tag on later on. But like for us, it really creates a nice north, south, east, west connection for that entire piece for the town.
Okay.
Isn't there a bike trail that starts either on First Avenue or Fifth Avenue, just south of Madison?
Right by the corner. That's the there.
That goes straight.
Yeah, the Prairie Pass.
That goes all the way out to.
That's really yeah. That's
that,
so far.
It goes way west.
Wire.
So that, but that starts on First Avenue, right?
Yep. Railroad track.
That's what they're trying to connect.
Yeah, they're trying to connect the mm-hmm. the Des Plaines River Trail to that.
Which at Thatcher we connect with the Des Plaines
River Trail. Trail. We would go down to Madison, then to Van Buren, and then connect.
Yeah.
So here's the intersection of Ashland, similar condition to others of raised pavement because this is only a two-way stop. Here again, the idea was still multi-use path. You try to, and I know it looks a little funky in terms of where these crossings are right now. It's a little weird the way we currently have it, where the crossings are way in. They really should be near the intersection so that drivers and people have an under, they all see each other. So the idea is to sort of bring that to the intersection. And so this stuff, while this would only be connected for that south route, this would be removed. This would be removed. People would connect to the south because you want them to cross at the intersection. Yeah. Because you want them to cross safely.
I think you're herd, your biker herds, terrorists out there. I think they're definitely going to be on the street matter what, because they're not going to make those turns. And I think with these turns that we have on Ashland and Park, I think that is going to be more conducive to kids on their little tricycles, people in the neighborhood taking their bikes or pushing a stroller type of thing. So I think that may behoove the pedestrians from having to deal with packs of bikes coming through on these multi-use paths because of the jogging.
They won't do it for two blocks.
Correct. Right. They're just not going to do it. They're just going to be in the street.
It's fine that they're not.
We don't have the, I think it's completely fine.
Joggers to state side. They're all running outside at the same time, causing enough chaos.
Yeah, so my point basically just is because it's 30 feet off, I think that's going to keep the biker packs, the people that are exercising, that are doing something with an objective, it's going to keep them off of these multi-use paths.
Great.
It's a
pacing. Right, pacing. That's a word, yes.
So this is Ashland, and our final one here is Lathrop. Yeah, so and what we did here too is the current idea was continuing the multi-use path. You get to the intersection, here is where you would make your decision based on just what facilities are available. So again, yes, it would be great to continue into the other town, but this is our extent of the project. They would be able to continue on street, just regular rules of the road in terms of what they're doing. One other design concept that we talked about here is the idea that really we're doing bump outs on one side. Reason being, when people are driving here, if somebody is looking to turn left and you get caught, you still want people to be able to go right or out. That this would create a huge backup if we did this as a bump out.
Well, we have one of those on Chicago and Bonnie Gray on the south side. If I want to turn north into my street, everybody behind me has to wait. Yeah.
And that was a consideration here with this one, was really keeping that open, just because this, my understanding is, like, during obviously rush hour and stuff, somebody's going left, this could end up backing up Washington pretty significantly.
It does slow them down.
It does.
That's another place where they can have, where they can stand.
And in that parking lane may be used as a driving lane.
Yeah.
But it's only one block. And it makes sense from a left-hand turn or a right-hand turn or whatever.
Yeah, we've got two lanes that they could do that.
Yeah.
I mean, two blocks, sorry.
Well, the other one has bump out. So they
the other one, no, but the... Yeah, I guess you're right. Just at this point.
Just this one longer block.
Well, you can put your little pylons at the end there.
Yeah.
Search burgers.
The what?
The burgers.
The burgers. The little pylons.
All right, so Jack, with everything we just looked at, the only thing that I have written down is this Lathrop kickout, which we can talk about later. But the parking for that park, not the Triangle Park, Washington Park, did we net lose parking on Washington? We did, correct?
Yeah, overall, yes.
West of Forest,
correct.
Okay. Which when I had little kids, you know, we would come down Forest from the north where the turnaround is.
Yeah.
And without question, I'm not going to specify a gender, there were a lot of people in cars parked in the circle, you know, watching their kids or just parked in that circle. They didn't, you know, losing parking there on Washington and or north of that park might be an issue that we need to grapple.
They can still park on East Oak, and
which is a half a block away. Know, which is a half a block away. I mean, we're talking about River Forest here.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're losing how many spaces? And are we able to park on both sides on Forest going south off of Washington?
No.
You can only park on one side?
On the west side.
By the houses.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, I'm not saying we're solving anything tonight.
Right.
I want to get out of here just like everybody else. But I'm just bringing that up as a potential talking point in the future because we're net down.
Mm-hmm.
How do we equalize or create more?
Yeah, what I would say too is, right. Well, but my thing would be as part of the village-wide traffic study, and I know even part of like the analysis for just Washington Boulevard, and this is where we can dive into it a little further, and staff can, you know, go out certain periods of the day to see what's going on. But the general consensus is that along the corridor, the parking is sparsely used. That is the general consensus through the studies, that it was sparsely used. So
overall, but not on
Washington in particular.
But yeah, but near Forest, it's always used.
Okay,
and even it's even sparsely used between Park and Franklin, as far as I'm concerned. No, nobody's ever parked.
Maybe
during, because they'll park on the diagonal.
Mm-hmm.
But that park, I'm sorry, that Forest and Washington area there, that's where most of the parking happens.
Are you talking? So, okay, because like when we look at this, this right along this way,
and parking north of that is full. And then people are parking all the way. The summer, all spring and summer.
Yeah, right. And that's the only time it happens. But 99% of the parked cars are probably right in that area. Everywhere else, yeah, we could do it at whatever we want with the parking.
Like, kind of Keystone is not our entrance to Washington Park because it's only a house and you're in the park.
I agree.
You're closer than parking.
I have no problem.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm just exactly. I mean, I walk to that park. I'm just saying the people that have to drive two blocks to that park, well, for God's sakes, they're not going to walk 30 feet from their car.
Jack, do we have or any data on bump outs on Chicago Avenue, the speed reduction?
I've not seen it. No, because I think, I don't know what year the Chicago was done, but I have not seen like a report or anything like that.
I don't think we did one. I mean, back then, I read that an expensive report to do. But it was the same idea, meaning when IDOT was giving us money, that's what.
Like now we can do it pretty easy with your tool. So it'd be great if, at least with Washington to say what it was before and what it was after to kind of provide evidence. I know after is a long time from now, but
just when the final improvements in?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen a reduction of 5 miles per hour on average over 6 months or something. That's real data. Outs.
What were your numbers there? You know, putting your...
For the delineators, 4 to 7 miles per hour.
Just for the delineators.
Yeah.
Right.
Perfect. Well,
was part of this right here, this report. Wasn't it right at the beginning of this report right here saying the delineators did slow? There wasn't a statistic on there right at the beginning? Oh, no. Anyway, I stand corrected. I thought I saw something.
But that's great data to have.
Mm-hmm. No, sure. And I think because of everything that we've done thus far with Washington Boulevard, we have so much documentation from we started here, we're here, and here's where we hope to end up. And when we do end up wherever we end up, there's going to be all this that we can look back on and what was done. So, yeah, one of my main comments to some of the most vocal residents was that when we get to the point of doing the project and we go after grant funding, I'm going to look for letters of support from you so that we can actually go get that funding, because I know IDOT, when they see it from residents, especially along the corridor, like, wow, you know, this project has community support, outstanding support along the corridor. We're going to go for it. So
these presentations are super clear, really nicely laid out.
No, they did a great job. The consultant Primera, they did a great job. They do. Obviously that was part of the, you know, for us, the review process for the RFP was they had Hitchcock Design Group, who has a lot of the just making beautiful pictures and figures to make it easy to read.
Can you go back to the forest in Washington real quick? Because I'm confused. I confused myself. So there's no parking there. Okay, so there's no parking on anywhere on the south side.
Correct.
Okay.
All the way up to park.
Okay. Understood. All right. I make a motion.
Hey, Jack, just like before, we just want to compliment you and staff. Consultant. I mean, everybody's really done a great job.
Yeah. This is great.
I love the open house conditions out there, all the notices that you sent out.
Yeah. Really. That was me, Bill, and Seth in a room for 4 hours packing letters. So our thing was, we understood how much this is going to change that entire corridor. So we sent a letter to everybody on the south end of town, Hawthorne down, mm-hmm. so that it's like, hey, come out. You need to know what's going on, or say, you know, have a comment. So
that's a good turnout, 50 people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For public meetings, I mean, there are oftentimes, I've seen them, I've been part of them, nobody shows up.
Especially, you know. It's a positive thing. You know, usually people come when they're mad about
something. Right.
So. Yeah, I think it's accomplishing various objectives, solving problems.
Yep.
And looking nice, too.
You know what? It's going to really dress up that corridor. It's going to, and that was, I did receive one comment that, oh, this is going to bring down my property values. I'm like, this is going to, if anything, shoot everything up, because now you're going to have a beautiful corridor. You're going to be right adjacent to a path. I mean,
yeah.
Exactly. So.
Anything else, Brandon?
Jack, is there a way for I'd like to show this to my husband while I get to Florida tomorrow. Is there a, can you email me a link or whatever you can?
I will email all of you the link because that'll be the easiest way just to get it out. Yep.
Yeah. Otherwise, you have to search for it on the website. You have to go through the steps. Yeah.
I still didn't get those pictures.
Oh, Patricia.
Well, I think we're done here, and I would make a motion to retreat.
May I second?
Yes.
It's on here. All in favor?
All right.
Okay.